So we are looking this season at a different topic. Last time we looked at prayer, this time we're looking at the church and different ways that the church is described. And so last time we thought about the fact that the church is not the church building. So we said it's not the building, it's the what? It's, well, Jesus is the cornerstone, but cornerstone was a good thing to remember. Yeah, Ben, you can say it. It's the people, it's the people. So the church is the people. But then just to confuse you, but actually to make it easier to understand in a way, we said the church is not the building, but we are a bit like something that makes a building. So what are we a bit like? Somebody who has an answer, sorry. Like, yeah. Mary Rose. Sorry? People. Annie Rose, I meant to say. Not the people. We're a bit like, I think your dad's telling you. Bricks. Bit like bricks. So we're a bit like bricks that build up and up and up and up and up forever, really, until we reach the end when Jesus comes back. So the church is not the building, it's the people. The people are like bricks and they build up and up and up until Jesus comes again. They're building a massive building, but it's not like a building that you live in. It's a building made up of people because the church is the people. And today we're going to think about another way to talk about the church. And here's a verse in Ephesians. And Ephesians is probably worth having open, particularly if you're adults, somewhere around Ephesians. We're looking at it a couple of times. And it says in Ephesians 4, verse 16, I'll read it out for you, but it's on the screen as well. From him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Do you know what the ligaments are? Anyone want to tell me what a ligament is? Ligaments are like bits of elastic that sort of hold bones and cartilage together. So they join stuff up. So they're not like muscles that bend and stretch and pull, that pull things together. They're more like just like straps that hold things together. I don't know why I'm rubbing my leg there, but I'm sure I've got one there somewhere. A few ligaments. You can't do without a few ligaments in your life. So the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I suppose this is kind of a good summary of what we're going to talk about this morning. But here's a question. What do you think we could call the church? If you look at that verse and there's a word in there that we could call the church. The church is like this. It's not a building, it's the people, but also it's not a building, it's a, what do you think, anybody? There's even a clue at the top, but yes, Liz. Body, perfect. It's a body. It's not a building, it's a, children, call out. Body. It's a body. It's not a building, it's a body. It's not a building, it's the people. It's not a building, it's a body. And it's very exciting thinking about the church as a body, the body of Christ. And it's held together by every supporting ligament. There's lots of elastic that holds it together, and it's growing in love as each part does its work. And that's really what we're going to think about as we work through this morning. So it's not a building, but a body. The church is the body of Christ. I need to see what I'm doing here. There we go. Now, you might be thinking, well, okay, it's a body, but are there lots of bodies? Because I think there are lots of churches. So what do you mean when you say the church is the body of Christ? Because I'm saying here, there's one body, and it's called the church. So I want to just explain something. It'll help the adults as well, but for everybody to learn about the little church, the big church, and the massive church, okay? So I need three volunteers just to help me demonstrate. Yep, let's go. Yep. Sorry, I'm not very good at pointing from a distance. I'm going to come and... Yes, perfect. You can go out the front. I need a... Yeah, come Zara. Need to be reasonably tall. Can you stand on the stage? That would be good. Go on then, Ben. I know I've chosen you already, but there's other volunteering options in a minute. There's quite a lot coming up. So... let me just move this over a bit further so you can see. Okay, let me get the three headings up there. There's what we call the little church. So let's swap you over, actually. this works so well because they're going up in size now. I didn't plan that, but God in his goodness gave me three people of different sizes. Okay, so first of all, we got the little church. So if you could put your hands like that. Okay, so that's the little church. That's people joined together locally in what we might call a little church. It doesn't have to be very small, but I'm calling it the little church like ours. Now, somebody call out, what is our little church called? It's called Christ Church. And sometimes we call it Christ Church. Christ Church, Haywards Heath. And that's quite a big name, but it was even longer before because it was Haywards Heath Evangelical Free Church, which was even longer. So we're called Christ Church, Haywards Heath. And we're the little church. Now, keeping your hands like that, we're all joined together. Can you think of any other little churches that you know about? The name of any other church that you know? It's a hard question. Yes? Grace Church. Brilliant. And there's a couple from Grace Church here this morning, and they'll be really cheesed off, I was going to say, pleased that you remembered that. I was going to say really cheesed, but then that didn't work. Anyone think of any others? Yes, Jasmine. Cookfield Baptist Church. Yeah, that's another little church, another little local church. Okay, so that's the little church. Oh, you drop your hands down. All those people, they're all disappointed. Now, just because they're alive, you can do a little bit of this now and then, just to show that they're all living people who are kind of acting together and interacting. You don't want to do that? Yeah, a bit of that. A little bit of that every now and again. Okay, so we got the little church, the local church. And then we got the big church, as I call it, which is sometimes called the visible church for adults. And that is all Christians all over the world. Now, what I want us to do for this one is to sort of put our arms like this, as though we're putting our arms around the globe like this. So if you could do that, Zara, and demonstrate what people need to do. Yeah, just rounded like that. Perfect. So we've got the little church. We've got the big church, which is all Christians all around the world. Now, do you know of any Christians anywhere else in the world that you could tell me? Just Christians, you know, anywhere in the world. Yes, Violet. Grace. That's a good one. Other Christians in other parts of the world as well. Yeah, Jasmine's got a hand. Jasmine and then Liz. Jasmine? Mali, yes. And it's the Simeon and Gemma. Brilliant. That's another Christian that we know somewhere else in the world as we put our arms around the world. Brilliant. And Liz, you were going to say something. Yep. That. There's a couple who are in the UK, but somewhere else in the world. Brian, you wanted to say something. Poland. Do you know anyone in Poland who's a Christian? Brilliant. So there's Christians, of course, in Poland. So we're putting our arms around the world and we're thinking there's Christians all around the world. And so if you've still got your arms like that, it's really difficult, isn't it? It's actually a form of torture making people hold their hands out like this for a very long time. Seriously, it is. So you're doing very well. And remember Moses as well. He had his arms like this while he was praying. Okay, there's only about another 20 minutes to go. You've got to stay like that. Okay, and then we've got what I've called the massive church. I need the heading for that, don't I? The massive church, which is all Christians who ever lived from all time. So what you've got to do for this is, I don't know how to do it exactly without ripping my shirt, but some kind of big stretch like this for all Christians of all time. You can lean over a bit because you've got sort of the past and the future. So this is kind of all Christians who've always lived. As long as you're laughing at him and not me, that's fine. So there we are. So if the children want to stand up and have a go at that. So all the children stand up. I know you don't want to, but you're going to. Come on. Come on, stand up. And let's do all three. Well, you've got the examples at the front. Oh, come on. Right. So we got the little church. Okay. The little church. What's the next one? The big church. And what do we do for the big church? Like this. Get our arms around. And then what's the next one? The massive church. Okay, brilliant. Do you want to sit down? Because that was quite an effort. Now, do you want to tell me any Christian that you know who ever lived? Preferably one that's not living now, to make the point. Martin Luther was a good example. When did he live? How many hundreds of years ago? Pardon? 6 maybe. About. Yes. John Bunyan. What did John Bunyan do? He wrote Pilgrim's Progress, wrote a great book. Anybody else? Violet, did you have one? Jaden, did you have one? Do you have your hand up? Yeah? Oh, I didn't hear that one. J.F. Tolkien. Thank you. Sorry. he may well have been a Christian. He was a Catholic, and some people think he was a Christian. I think he quite possibly was. I really don't have a clue. Yes? I'll come back to you. Florence Nightingale. Florence Nightingale. Was she a Christian? I don't have a clue. Was she? Sorry, my ignorance. I'm just saying. Yes? C.S. Lewis. He was definitely a Christian. I know about him. Yes, Violet, sorry. My dad was a Christian, actually. Thank you for that. Yeah, he was. Great example to me. Matthew. Marjorie Savage. Another really good example. Thank you for those. That's really thoughtful about all of those. So there's the little church, the local church. There's all the Christians all around the world at this very moment. And then there's all the Christians that there's ever been. And that's called the universal church. And in a way, well, not in a way, really, what God is doing is bringing everybody under Christ. And that begins with the church, which is all Christians, whoever are, whoever have been. And that's the universal church. So you could say the body is the little church. You could say the body is the big church. And you could say the body is the massive church. All those things would be true. But mostly in the Bible, it talks about the little church. And then that helps us understand about the big church and the massive church. But most of the time, the Bible's talking about the little church, which is the local church. And it's talking, when it says church, nearly always, not always, but quite a lot of times, it's talking about what happens in the little church locally, which is just lots of little examples of what's happening on a really big, wide scale, which is the whole body of Christ under his rule. But we just experience it mostly in the local sense. So there we are. That's the three kinds of churches. And what is true of the little church is true of the big ones. Now, it's one body, the church. It's not lots of bodies. It's one body. It's one body trying to do something together all at the same time. So that's the first thing, to realize that it's a body. The church is a body. But the second thing is to realize that it's a living body, because it's a body. It's not a dead body. It's an alive body. So what kind of things do things that are alive do? What do things that are alive do? If you're alive, what do you do? What could you do? If you're dead, you can't do anything. So if you're alive, what can you do? You two have been great so far. Yes, Livia. Pardon? Grow, perfect one, excellent. They grow. If you're alive, you grow. What else might you do? Judah? You might eat and drink that will help you grow and stay alive, yeah? Dance, yeah, that's a good one. And the church dances. okay. We do lots of moving, though. Yes. Die. You die if you're living, that's true. That wasn't my main point, but it is true. But interestingly, good answer though it might be, it's not true of the church. Not true of the church. Never dies. Church never dies out. It never dies out in the sense that we all make it to the eternal kingdom. But it's not true in that actually, even in history, when things are getting really bad for the church, it never dies out because God keeps it going. Yes. You learn new things. Yeah, learn is a really good thing. That's what living things do. Yes, Jasmine. Live your life. You live your life. You live your life because you're alive. Yes. Sorry. Pardon? You breathe. Yeah, you breathe to live. Okay, just you two. Did I ask you already? No, I'll ask you. You can have times of rest, yeah, yes.
Exercise.
See, you can see, yeah. So all those things are living, and it really helps us think about the church, because the church has to do all of those things. It grows, it moves, meaning it does things. The church is not supposed to be like a body that's just sitting there doing absolutely nothing. It's not even supposed to be a body that's just sitting there eating lots of food and doing nothing. It's got to be eating lots of food by learning from the Bible and learning and seeing lots of things about God and how we serve God. And then living your life, as Jasmine said, living it all out, moving and speaking and acting it all out as we learn and as we keep feeding and as we keep growing. That's what it is to be the living body of Christ. So that's the church. The church is one body. Now, all of you, is that how you think of the church, as a body? Or do you think of it as a bunch of people who meet up now and then, a sort of collection of people who gather together and then they separate, they gather together again? That's not really the idea, is it? A body is something that's together, moving together, learning together, growing together, acting together. As we think about a bit later, suffering together. Do you think about the church like that? It's the body of Christ. It's true of the whole church, but it's true especially if you belong to this church, if you're part of this church, then you're part of a body. Not just going to a building, not just going to a club with some other people, you're actually part of a body. And that changes the way we think about it. It makes it very special, really important to join in with what the body's doing. And we'll think about that in a few minutes. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, this was for the adults and people who are feeling technical about it all. This is a little Venn diagram just to help you. If you're in secondary school, you might be familiar with these. I don't know whether they still teach them in maths. But there we are. You've got the local church, which is, here we are, Haywardsheath, Christchurch Haywardsheath. And then you've got the visible church, which is all the people, all the world. And then you've got the invisible church, in other words, the big church. So you've got little, big, massive going that way. And then, of course, you've got churches, which really means not everyone who's in a church building is a Christian. We know that. Because we know there were times when we went to a church and maybe were part of a church and we weren't a Christian. So not everyone who's in a church is a Christian, but it's all those who are following Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Okay, here we go with the next point, I think. We've done the It's Alive point. One head, Christ. So that's the second thing. First thing is it's one body and it's the church. And the second thing is that there's one head of the body and that is Christ. Let me read that verse to you, or bits of that verse, in Ephesians 1 and then Ephesians 4. Ephesians 1 says, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And then a bit later in the book, it says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So in both those places, in Ephesians and also the other verses that we could read from Romans and Corinthians, all say that the head of the body is Christ. Now, what does your head do to the rest of your body? Yes. It sends messages. That's a perfect answer. Anything you want to say to add to that? Yes? Violet? It thinks. Yep. Think of another way of sending messages. Another way of saying what the head does to the body. Yep.
Makes you move.
Yeah, it makes you move. It tells you what to do. That's how he's thinking about Christ as being the head, that Christ is the part of the body that tells it what to do. And in a way, you could say, gives it its life and gives it its purpose. It's a bit of a funny way of thinking about it, but if you kind of imagine your body, that all the rest of it doesn't really have anything to do unless your head starts telling it what to do, what purpose it is, what it's supposed to be doing, where it wants to go. See, it's not as though your hand or your foot say, I want to go over here. This is my head telling me what to do. I want to go over here, isn't it? Sometimes, sadly, when things go wrong, it's when the head and the body are not working together properly. So the head tells the body what to do, and the head gives the body purpose. And the Bible tells us that Christ is the head of the church. So Christ tells the church what to do. Christ is the boss of the church. Christ is in charge of the church. How do you think Christ tells the church what to do? Yeah, Oakley. Sometimes through people, sometimes through leaders of the church. Does anyone know any of the leaders of this church? You're in the front. Yes. Just want to make sure I'm not missing anyone who has put a hand up. Yes, Zara. Yeah, me, that's a good example. I'm not a good example of a good leader, but I'm a good example of a leader. Yes.
You're a leader.
Yep, someone's already guessed that one, but good. Yes.
Nathan.
Nathan is one, yes. Mark. Stuart. And there are some more. Nigel and Nick, I think we missed out. But there's leaders of the church, and then other people who lead the group. So they're all people who help us, but we're not the boss of the... Did I miss out Stephen? Sorry, I'm looking really sad. Apologies. We're not the bosses of the church. We're not in charge of the church. We help organize the church, but we're supposed to do what the head, Jesus, wants us to do in trying to lead the church. So we look and see. So I don't want to give away the next answer. So people was a sort of an answer, but how does the head, Christ, tell the body what to do? How do you think? Yes, Annie Rose. Through the Bible. Perfect answer. Really helpful. It's through the Bible. And that's how leaders are supposed to lead the church, through the Bible. See, the boss is Jesus. You imagine that you're a farmer and you've got lots and lots of sheep. You own all the sheep. And you decide what you want to do with the sheep, and you decide how the sheep are going to be fed, and all the rules about how you're going to keep the sheep. Okay? So that's you. You own everything. That's like Jesus. And then you might take on some people and say, can you look after the sheep over here in this field? And can you look after the sheep over here in this field? And so they're sort of in charge, but really it's the farmer who owns it all, and the farmer who tells all the little shepherds what to do in all the little groups of sheep. And that's like Jesus. There are leaders in the church, but they're doing what God wants us to do as we learn from the Bible. And that's what all of us do. We have Jesus in charge of our lives, and he's the head that tells us what to do. And we learn from other people who might teach us the Bible, but we also learn when we read the Bible ourselves, because God speaks to us and tells us what we should be doing. Now, something else about Jesus being the head and us being the body, which is, well, I'll start with a question. Although it's not perfect, do you like your body? I think so. And do you try and take care of your body? I think you do. So here's the question. How do you take care of your body? All of you who haven't put your hands up yet, just feel the urge. Come on. Yeah, Ben. Pardon? Brush your teeth. Yeah, those of you who came on the autumn school will hear an interesting experiment about teeth brushing, which I could explain to you at some point. Yes?
Do lots of exercise.
Yeah, so you do lots of exercise to try and take care of your body. I think there's a hand up right in the middle over here, which I just need to find. Yes? Eating healthy foods. Yeah, eating healthy foods. You feed and nourish and take care. Zara, do you want to shout something? Exercise, yeah, we've had that one, yep. Pardon? Resting, yeah, resting as well. We take care of our body, yes. By having a bath, yes. Hands up for bath, hands up for showers. Showers all the time. Yeah. It's good use of water, it's a much better experience. Anyway, having a bath, having a shower, it's all really good for looking after ourselves. So we take care of our body, we feed, we nourish ourselves, we take care, we have baths, we do exercises, we have times of rest, and all of those ways we look after the body. And do you know what? It says that Jesus really cares about his body, the church, and he feeds and nourishes it. I can't remember whether, is that up there? Yeah. No, that's not that one. Yes, it is. Yeah, sorry. It's because this is at a funny angle here. That's my excuse. It's talking about husbands and wives. And it's really interesting, actually, if you, particularly grown-ups, thinking about the book of Ephesians, the idea of the body just kind of goes as a sort of backdrop all the way through. You've got the body under one head at the beginning, and then you've got the body in chapter 4, and then you've got the idea of the body when it's talking about the husband and the wife. It's really interesting, that sort of body idea in there. But anyway, verse 23 of chapter 5, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, the body, his body, of which he is the Savior. No one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. So, Jesus cares for his body, the church, and Jesus wants to feed and care for the church and look after it. Just like a husband should want to look after their wife and love them and care for them, and just like we want to look after our own bodies and love it and care for it and give it food, Jesus wants to do that for the church because he cares so much for the church. And that's really comforting to know that Jesus actually cares for the church and he wants it to flourish and to grow. But it also makes us think, well, if Jesus cares for the church and wants it to grow and he wants to take care of it, then we should care for the church and want it to grow and to take care of it and to feed it and to do everything to make it live well. So what's the church? It's not a building. It's not a building, it's the people. It's not a building, it's a body. And who's in charge of the body? Shout. Jesus Christ is in charge of the body. He's the head of the body and he nourishes and cares for the body. Last thing. It's one body with many parts. A little selection of verses from 1 Corinthians 12 up on the screen. Just as a body, though one body, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink, and so the body is not made up of one part, but many. I've got something different there than I've got here, haven't I? And then verse 15 says, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to you, so I do not belong to the body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And a bit later on, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's a really good bit of the Bible to go away and look at, particularly grown-ups, if you have a moment to reflect this afternoon, read that or the passage in Romans and really think about the church as the body and how you connect with that. So, there are different parts to this one body. Now, I want some volunteers again, but quite a lot. Basically, anyone who wants to come down the front. Anyone who wants to come down. Anybody at all who's young. come down to the front. A few more than that. Still a few more. Just a few more would be really good. Okay. So we're like the different parts of a body. So if I can have about three people here, and you can be the feet, okay? And I'll tell you what to do in a minute. And if I have a little group here, so about a few of you from here, yeah, across there, that's it. A few more, just a couple more. That's enough, perfect. And you guys can be the hands, okay? You're the hands. So what are you?
Feet.
Can we have one more in the feet, please? The feet's quite a fun one, so sorry about that. Right, and then we'll have another group over here. Don't kick the screen. Come up here, this way. Anybody need any help? You're all super agile, aren't you? So you guys over here are the hands. Okay.
We're not the hands, they're the hands.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's really good, really good that you followed. Nice one. Okay. So what you are, I could say the mouth, but I'm going to say the eyes. You are the eyes, okay? So what you do is the eyes is look out like this, okay? So we're going to do that in a minute. Do that really big time in a minute. You guys are, as you rightly said, the hands. And what you're going to do as hands is just do a bit of waving like this, okay? In a minute, okay? And then you guys, which get the slightly more fun job, if you'll be on the same level, then you'll make a nice lot of noise. You guys are the legs and the feet, okay? So in a minute, when I say do your jobs, you got to go like this. Okay? So you're the feet, you are the hands, and you are the eyes looking out. I'm going to have a special extra job for you in a minute. Okay. Which one are you? You're the hands. Cool. Okay. So if I say do your job, now do your job. Okay, brilliant. And you're all different parts of the body kind of thing. Now you guys over here, you get another special job because we're going to do it one more time. But this time, you are going to be the mouth, okay? So you can say whatever you want that's polite. So you can say la, 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 or you can say my name is something or other in the loudest voice you can. When I say do your job, when I finish the word job, you do that. So call out as loud as you want. You guys wave your hands really furiously because this is the last chance to do it. And make sure you're seen. Let's change the heights around a little bit. So we get Violet a little bit further back. Annie Rose a little bit further forward. Jaden a little bit further forward. There we are. Perfect. Joshua, sorry. I know Jaden's not here. I do know what his name is, honestly. And what were you guys? Oh, yeah, you were. Okay. So when I say do your job, when I say the word job, you've got to do it, but really as sort of hard and as vigorously, as enthusiastically as you possibly can. Do your job. Yeah! You're supposed to be shouting.
Hello!
Yeah, perfect. Right. Okay. Now, you can go sit down now. That shows us, in a rather silly way, that in the church, we've got different jobs to do, and it's a bit like some of us are the feet, and some of us are the hands, and some of us are the voices, and some of us are the eyes who are seeing stuff that's coming along. I need a lectern. That's where I'm getting my exercise today. And we're all part of the body. And what's really interesting in that verse is that no part of the body can say, I'm not part of the body. So if you're a Christian, you can't say, I'm not part of the body. You can't say, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, he's in charge of my life, but I don't belong to the body. You can't say that. It's a bit like a hand that's on a body saying, I don't belong to the body. It's silly and it's wrong. That's why God wants us to join local little churches. And so we show that we're part of the body of Christ and we're joined together. So nobody can say, I don't belong to the body, but also nobody can say, I don't need the body. That's a different thing. Because you could say, well, yeah, I'm part of the body, but I don't need any other part of the body. I am pretty cool. I am pretty organized. I am a really good Christian all on my own. So I'll be part of the body, but I don't need the rest of the body. That's really silly, and it's really wrong. So no part of the body can say, I don't need it. No Christian can say, I don't need other Christians. Now, there are some times in our lives and some places in the world where we are on our own. But normally, God puts us where we can be in a little family of Christians. And so then we can never say, I don't need other Christians, because we do. So we can't say I'm not part of the body. We can't say I don't need the rest of the body. And what we do is we work for the good of the body. We say, how can I help the body feed and nourish itself? How can I look after the body? How can I do my job in the body? I'm a hand. What can I do with my hands for God? I'm a foot. What can I do with my feet and my legs for God? I'm a voice. What can I do with my voice for God? I'm an eye. What can I do for seeing for God? And we figure out what we can do to serve God's people and to help the body to grow. And also, because we're part of the body, this is the last thing now, we all feel pain when the body feels pain. Anybody here ever had toothache? Yeah, quite a lot of people. The older ones more, probably. And anybody ever had a really bad headache? I've had a really bad headache lots of times. And you know what? When something like a toothache, or when your head aches, or actually when you get a really bad foot or ankle or something, your whole body feels like it's suffering. It's not like you say, oh, that's my ankle there, it hurts, or this is my head here, it hurts, but the rest of me is all right and I feel fine. When a part of our body hurts, the whole body hurts. And that's what it's supposed to be like in the church, that when one of us is hurting and suffering, all of us are supposed to be hurting and suffering. But also, it says there, if one part is honored, every part rejoices. When one part of the church is happy, then the whole of the church can be happy and rejoice and celebrate. And we're supposed to do that together as God's people, because we're all part of one body. Do you know what? There are so many really important lessons in that, particularly for adults, for us to think around if we're part of this church, Christ Church, Hayward's Heath, to think, how do we make sure we're part of the body? How do we serve the body? How do we make sure that we don't say, I don't need the rest of the church? How do we get benefit from being in the body? And how do we suffer when the body suffers? And how do we rejoice when the body rejoices? And big picture, what a great privilege to be part of the body of Christ, under the headship of Christ. This one body, part of God's really big story to bring everything under Christ, who's ultimately will be seen as the head over all things.